Take your Bible. Let's go to John chapter 10 this morning, the Gospel of John and chapter 10. Read a few verses beginning in verse 22, John chapter 10. It was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. The relationship between a shepherd and his sheep is a beautiful picture of the relationship that God has with his people. A number of years ago, there was a pastor in Ontario, Wisconsin. His name was Mike Jeffley. Mike was saved as a teenager at a wrestling camp, went to Bible college, got called to preach, decided to go back to his hometown of Ontario, just a small little town of 300 people, in an effort to win his family, his friends, his loved ones to the Lord Jesus Christ. He started a church there in that little town. He's now pastored it nearly 40 years. And many of those people in that community have come to know Christ, and a beautiful building has been built, and just a tremendous testimony to what the Lord can do through a life surrendered to him. But in those early days, Pastor Jeffley called and he said, would you come and hold a week of revival meetings here? And we, of course, agreed and went and pulled our trailer into the parking lot of the church. It was a three-story house that they had turned into a place to meet, and they were only running about 20 people. And on Saturday night as we arrived, I sat down with the pastor and he began to go over the schedule and talk about the week and different plans that he had. And he said, now, Brother Getch, he said, I don't have a salary yet. We're not at that point yet. But he said, my dad, who's not saved, he is a farmer, and he gave me a piece of land, and I'm raising sheep. That's how I'm providing for my family right now. And he began to talk about that a little bit, and I was interested to some degree. And he said, you gotta come and see my sheep. And I said, well, yeah, that'd be fine. And kind of left it at that. Well, the next day we had the morning services, and afterwards had a little carry-in dinner for the folks. And about 2 o'clock, everybody started drifting on to their place. And a pastor came over to the table where my wife and my two children, John was about 8 at the time and Melinda about 5. And he came over there to the table and he said, you're coming over, right? And I said, coming over? He said, yeah, to see the sheep. I said, well, Pastor, it's Sunday. Sunday afternoon is good for one thing, taking a nap. I said, Pastor, I don't know that we'll come today. He said, oh, you got to come today. It's a beautiful day. And he looked at my kids and said, you want to see the sheep, right? And they go, yeah. He said, you got to come. I said, well, Pastor, tell you what, how about if we change clothes first? You know, I was raised on a farm. I know how these things go. And I said, we probably better change clothes and get into something a little more comfortable. And he said, okay, you guys go change clothes. I'll run my family home. I'll come back and get you in about 10 minutes. So we went out to the trailer and changed into some little bit lousier clothes, I guess you could say, than our church clothes. And here he came back into the parking lot in his pickup truck. Now, I'm not talking about a crew cab truck. I'm talking about a single seat pickup truck. And he and me and my wife and two kids piled into the front seat of that old pickup truck. And we started down this dirt road to his farm. That road had potholes the size of Palmdale. I mean, I'd never seen a road like that in my life. I'm bouncing around in that pickup truck. Now, I'm not a happy camper. I'm not happy at all. It's Sunday afternoon. I'm missing my nap, and I'm going to see sheep that I really could care less about seeing. We finally got to the end of this dirt road, and he pulled to the left into a driveway, and as soon as he did, my attitude changed. Over to the left was the house that they were attempting to live in. It was pretty much of a mess. It needed a coat of paint really bad, and it looked like it was in pretty poor condition. They had fixed up the inside, and it was quite livable, but the outside looked pretty bad. But to the right of that driveway, there was a pasture. The pasture went up about 500 feet to a tree line, and dotted all over that beautiful green pasture were these 100 sheep that belonged to the pasture. They were just grazing peacefully. It was one of the most beautiful scenes I'd ever seen in my life. Well, we got out of the pickup truck and we walked over to the fence, and pastor began to talk about raising these sheep and what a joy it was and how it was similar to pastoring the people in the church and so on. And he said, would you like to see the sheep up close? Well, we said, sure. Well, he cupped his hands like this, and he yelled up to that hillside, come, sheep! I thought, well, that's original, you know? I mean, most people can whistle or something, but as soon as he said that, every one of those sheep, almost like synchronized swimmers, raised their heads, looked down to that fence line, and began to run to where we were. Now these 100 sheep are all milling around, and he's talking about them as he's getting them their water refreshed and putting some feed in the troughs, and we're just enjoying this. And after a while, the sheep began to drift back up the hillside, and we went into the house to enjoy a little bit of fellowship that afternoon. About 4 o'clock, we decided we better get back to the church and get ready for the evening service. And so we walked out on the porch, and by this time, all of the sheep were scattered like they were originally all over that pasture on the hillside. As we were standing there kind of saying goodbye, my daughter, Melinda, she was about 5 at the time. She said, Dad, do you think I could call the sheep? I said, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe the pastor doesn't want them to come all the way back down again. She looked at the pastor, and he said, sure, you can call them. So she looked at me, and I said, go ahead. Well, she stepped forward on that porch, and she cupped her hands around her mouth, just like she had seen the pastor do. And in her squeaky little 5-year-old voice, she yelled up that hillside, come, sheep. And nothing happened. And she was gravely disappointed, almost to tears. And she looked at her big brother, John. He was 8. She said, John, you call him. Well, John looked at me and at the pastor. We kind of nodded. And so John stepped forward, and he cupped his hands around his mouth, and he yelled in a much stronger voice, come, sheep! Nothing happened. Now they were both disappointed. They looked at me, and they said, Dad, you call him. You were raised on a farm. You know how to do it. I stepped forward. I had memorized the line. And with my best imitation of the pastor, I cut my hands around my mouth and I yelled, come, sheep! One old ram lifted his head, looked at me, and you could tell by his eyes he was thinking, stupid tourists. By this time, the pastor was laughing pretty hard, and we finally convinced him to call the sheep, and all he had to do was raise his voice one more time, and those sheep gladly came. Are you in tune with the voice of the shepherd? Does God seem to you like an abstract concept? Does God and Christianity seem to just be another form of religion? Christian, does God seem distant this morning? Almost even unnecessary in your life? I want to look at 3 very unique aspects to this picture of the shepherd and his sheep. We see first a recognition in verse 27. The Bible says here, my sheep hear my voice. Now notice, this is a distinct voice. There are lots of voices today. There are lots of voices that we hear crying out to get our attention today. There are lots of appeals being made to your heart and my heart every week, every day in which we live. Some of those voices are loud. Some of them are quite persuasive. Some of them are charming. Some of them are very promising. But the shepherd's voice is a distinct voice. In John chapter 7, after Jesus had taught, their response was, "Never man spake like this man." In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28, as Jesus closed down the Sermon on the Mount, an amazing message of instruction, the Bible says it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It's interesting, in the New Testament, we read about a man in the book of Acts by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Saul was certainly a man of great recognition. He was a man that had been exposed to much in his life prior to his conversion. Saul of Tarsus had sat in the classroom of Gamaliel, perhaps the most noted instructor of that time, the greatest educator of that time. And Saul had had the opportunity to learn from that man's voice. Saul, as we find in Acts chapter 7 and 8, had authority from the chief priests and scribes to put anybody to death who was following the way of Jesus Christ. Saul was a man of renown. Saul was a Pharisee. In Philippians chapter 2, he said, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Saul said, "You show me one Old Testament commandment, I've kept it." Saul was a man of great religion. Saul was a man of great instruction. Saul was a man, according to the book of Corinthians, that could speak in more languages than anybody in the church at Corinth. But one day Saul heard a voice he had never heard before. And that voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Saul recognized this was a voice that could only be God's. It was a distinct voice. But not only is this voice of our shepherd distinct, it is a devoted voice. In verse 25, the Bible says here that Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Jesus did not come to build his own name. Jesus did not come to build his own empire. He was not trying to form some great political party. He was not trying to amass a group of fans. No, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. In John chapter 8, he said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I do always the things that please him." Jesus was not concerned about pleasing the multitudes. He was not concerned about drawing the big crowds. He was not concerned about having favor with all the people. Jesus was concerned about pleasing his heavenly Father. He was devoted to the cause that his Father had sent him to do, and that was to seek and to save the lost. He came not to please himself. It was a devoted voice, but not only a distinct voice and a devoted voice, but it was a divine voice. In verse 30, he says, "I and my Father are one." This was God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is no human shepherd whose resources would one day run out. This was no human shepherd whose power would prove at some point incapable as an enemy would come against him. This was no human shepherd who would rise and then fall, as all human authorities tend to do. No, this shepherd said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The kingdom of God is not word, but in power. Hebrews chapter 1, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. In Revelation chapter 11, the seventh angel sounded, there was great a voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You know, God set up institutions here on this earth. He set up the home, he set up government, he set up the church. Those are his three institutions. And through those institutions, he gives authority. Through those institutions, he provides protection and provision. And all of us recognize the voice of a dad. We recognize the voice of our president. We recognize the voice of our pastor. But do you recognize the distinct, devoted, and divine voice of your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ? Here is a recognition. But notice, secondly, this morning, a relationship. In verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You know what's amazing about standing there at that fence with Pastor Jeff Lee that day? As those 100 sheep gathered around, he began to tell us the life story of every one of them. Now, sheep are sheep. They all look the same. They do not have characteristics like human beings. They have wool. They have two eyes, two ears, a nose, and they have 4 feet. I mean, a sheep, you know, they're very much the same. But as he would point to each one, he would tell about that one's story, how that one maybe was an orphan, one that he had brought in from a stray. He told about one that had had twins and had a hard time in labor, and how he had to stay up all night with her and help her birth those twins. And he went on and on about each one of those sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Here is a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. It is a singular relationship. He said, my sheep hear my voice. God isn't an add-on to everything else you need in life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can I tell you, the Lord is not your last resort, nor is he your first resort. He is your only resort. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We need nothing else but him. He is our only resort. It is a singular relationship. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. Colossians 2 and verse 10 says, we are complete in him. He is our all and in all, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is a singular relationship, but it is also a sacrificial relationship. Go back in chapter 10 and look at verse number 11, if you will. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. As I said earlier, there are lots of voices trying to get our attention this morning. There are lots of voices trying to appeal to our heart. But this shepherd that the Bible speaks here in John chapter 10 is the one who gave his life for you. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place on Calvary. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This was a sacrificial relationship. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Here is a singular relationship. It is a sacrificial relationship, and it is a secure relationship. Look at verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Human relationships can be fickle. They can be very fragile, sometimes even fatal. Friendships, business partnerships, even marriages. But this relationship with this shepherd is eternal. They shall never perish. Eternal life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I am persuaded neither depth nor death nor life nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's a recognition, a relationship, but notice thirdly, here's a responsibility. This kind of commitment on the part of the shepherd begs a commitment on the part of the sheep. And notice a keen awareness. Go back to verse number 4, if you will, of chapter 10. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Why didn't those sheep respond to my daughter's voice or my son's voice or my voice? Because it was a strange voice. You see, sheep have a keen awareness of the shepherd's voice. Do you hear his voice? Or is his voice sort of blocked out by all the other things we're following? All of the other things we're attracted to. A sheep is not going to be deceived or detoured by another voice. My son, Solomon said, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Pilate wanted to know who Jesus was, and he asked him, are you a king? And Jesus said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Think about that. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. If you're not interested in God's truth, then apparently you've never come to know the voice of the shepherd. because everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. If you are of the truth, you will hear his voice. It will be distinct in your life. But notice not only a keen awareness, but a key authenticity. In verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. It's interesting, he doesn't say, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, I wish they would follow me. He doesn't say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they should follow me. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A key authenticity to Christianity is whether you're following the voice of the shepherd. You see, 1 John 2 says, hereby we do know that we know him. In other words, here's how we know we're saved. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. My little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Are we keeping his commandments? Are we obeying the voice of our shepherd? I was preaching in Plainfield, Illinois. The building was old. In fact, it was a historical monument in that town. And the auditorium had a balcony, but no one sat in it. They didn't need it. So it was closed off. I think they deemed it somewhat unsafe to go up the stairs into that balcony of that old, old building, over 100 years old. Underneath the balcony, there was a library. There were some shelves and some books and some tables, but it was roped off as well. I don't know if they just didn't want people to go back there and mess with the books, or if you needed special permission to go in there, I'm not sure, but they had it kind of roped off so as no one could sit under the balcony during the service time. Well, there was one old gentleman, he was 91 years old, and he had arthritis really badly in both of his knees, and he walked with two canes, and by the way, he walked to church two blocks every service, he would walk to church. It was painful to watch him walk. He was in such misery from his arthritis. But he would come each service, he'd come in the back, and he would move the ropes, and he would go and sit under the balcony where you weren't supposed to sit. And nobody seemed to care, I guess because he was 91 or because he had two canes, and I don't know, but he would always move the rope, and he'd go back there and sit under the balcony. And I noticed it the first day, you know, good Baptists like to sit in the back, and I thought, well, he's a good Baptist. He's sitting where you're not supposed to sit, even so far back. He sat down, and what was interesting was about every 7 minutes, he would stand up. And he would have to kind of stretch his body a little bit to keep it somewhat active. Because if he sat for the whole service, he wasn't going to go anywhere in an hour. I mean, he was just going to be kind of locked up. And so about every 7 minutes, he would stand and he would kind of stretch and kind of move his legs a little bit. And then he would sit back down. And I really kind of enjoyed it because I would know exactly how long I had preached by how many times he had stood up. I mean, it was almost 7 minutes right on the button. And I was preaching one night out of John chapter 10 and this verse 27. And I was teaching about how my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I was saying, you know, if you're a sheep, you're going to follow the Lord. If you're a sheep, you're going to obey him. If you've truly been saved, you're going to take the next step of believer's baptism. If you're truly saved and baptized, you're going to find a good local church to get to be a member of, or you can serve the Lord. If you're saved, if you're a sheep, you're going to tell others about Christ. You're going to be a soul winner. You're going to read your Bible. You're going to pray. You're going to be kind to people. I was going through how if you're saved, you're going to keep his commandments. And I went through the whole thing and I said, are you a sheep this morning? And I paused so as people can answer the question. And as I paused, he started getting out of his chair. And it kind of surprised me because he had just gotten up about a minute before. It wasn't time yet. And he's climbing out of that chair. And I said, are you a sheep this morning? And I paused and he got out of that chair and he put one cane up over his head and he lifted one foot off the ground and he said, or are you a goat? And he said, and everybody laughed. And then I noticed some people weren't laughing. And I said, sir, I'm glad you said that, not me. I think we have some goats here. Now, it might be difficult to discern between the goats and the sheep. But one day, according to Matthew chapter 25, amen, starting in verse 36, all nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them, the one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he will set his sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then he shall say to them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. It will matter whether you're a sheep. Are you a sheep this morning?